James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. This is the wise advice of James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, who is teaching the Christians who are scattered across the world how to tune up their lives, how to tighten things up in order to live for Him. And so tonight, it's just going to be all meddling, right? No preaching, meddling, because he's going to talk about how you spend your time. Nobody loves it. Nobody loves to have the preacher in their pocketbook, their date book, or their personal life. So, but it's not me, it's James. It's God, right? So let's give our attention to God's Word. James chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." If I were to put the question before you, what is the most common sin that Christians commit? You might make some good guesses, wrong guesses, but good guesses. Some of your guesses might be telling lies, breaking the Sabbath, taking God's name in vain, or maybe sexual sins or immorality. But how about what verse 17 tells us? The sin of neglect. For if anyone knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. The sin of neglect, or sometimes when we're speaking in fancy words, the sin of omission. Sins of commission, the things we do that we know we ought not to have done and we do them. Then the sins of omission, the things we know we should have done but failed to do. So the sin of neglect. What do we neglect? What do we neglect that God has commanded us to do? Well, we probably are pretty good at neglecting prayer. I suppose we're pretty good at neglecting the command, the call to love God alone, to love our neighbors, to be good stewards, or how about to have a thankful heart? These are things we struggle with, but one of the things I think James is going to point out to us in tonight's passage is we neglect or we fail to include God when we make our plans. I know this is rather personal. This is getting into our business, but that's what God does by His Word and Spirit. That's what James is doing to the early church. And so we want to let God get into our business for a few moments tonight. Now, in our lives, there are generally three important pieces of leather. Our checkbook. Don't touch my checkbook, right? And then there's our date book, our schedule. And there's our Bible. We're to honor the God and His sovereignty in each of these areas. God cares about how we spend our time. He cares about how we use our finances. And He certainly cares about how we receive and interpret and live the Scriptures. But tonight I want us to think about the third piece of leather, the date book, or our plans. Or maybe for some of you technologically inclined folks, your iCal, right? Or this will date you, the Palm Pilot, or the BlackBerry, the iPhone. However it is you make and keep your plans, that's what we want to think about this evening. So James is addressing Jewish Christians who are scattered around the Roman Empire due to the persecution that came in Jerusalem. And they are prosperous. They're doing very well financially. And what always, not always, but oftentimes happens when we become prosperous? We become self-sufficient. And we can, if we're not careful, live as if there is no God. We can cease to pray for daily bread because it just comes and it comes and it comes. And what's going on in the life of these Christian people that James is addressing? They are speaking of doing this and doing that with a total disregard for the Lord God, the sovereign King of the universe. And they are forgetting that it is in Him they live and move and have their being. And so we want to think with James tonight. We want to think with God Himself tonight, because He is the author of the Word, that we must submit to God's will in everything as Christians. And so the first thing I think we ought to learn from this passage is that we ought to include God in making our plans. Now, I know it's Sunday night. Monday's coming around. The next week is, well, it's already started, but we, you know, got your grocery list, your to-do list, your tying ribbons around your fingers. You know, don't want to forget things. But we ought not to forget to include God in our plans. These Christians that James is addressing, they're merchants, they're traders. And at their conversion, because of their standing in Jerusalem, the pride of Judaism, they lost a lot. They lost their pride, they lost their business, they lost their income, they lost their wealth. And for a period of time, they had to deeply trust God for provision. They had to get on their knees and beg God daily. But now that they're on their feet again and business is good, James is having to say to them, all right, you're forgetting God, you're forgetting the sovereign one. And so their chatter, their words, is full of boasting and full of planning. But they fail to include God in their plans, and they neglect the sovereign one. If you think with me again about verses 13 and 14, where James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Verse 13 tells us about five things these folks plan to do. And nobody's saying plans are bad. We're just saying include God in your plans. But they're planning a time. They're planning a location. They're planning a length of stay. They're planning a trade or a business. And they're planning to make a profit. All good godly things. They're planning time today or tomorrow. They're planning a location, such and such a town. They're planning a length of stay. We'll stay there a year. They're planning their business. We'll trade. They're planning the outcome. We'll make a profit. So it's good to make plans. Success is biblical in the right sense. It's not good to be aimless. It's not good to be disorganized. But we've got to include God in our plans and see that our plans meet His will. What's the problem here with these folks, these Christians, these folks that James is fussing at? Well, they've presumed on God. They're living as if there is no God. They're living as if they are God. There's a bit of arrogance. And they're planning a life and a business without God. And James is tapping them on the shoulder. And he's saying, hey, stop and wait a minute and listen. They are presumed on God Almighty, the God of space and time. And they're presuming that He will allow them to go and to profit and to trade and to spend time to be safe, have health. They've forgotten that God is sovereign and that He rules and that He governs all people. They've forgotten the doctrine of providence, that God works through and in all our circumstances. They've forgotten that there is a divine one. So God is sovereign, yes, over our date book, yes, over our checkbook, yes, over our business, yes, over our, well, all our plans. God is sovereign over them. So we must include God. I would guess the sin of American Christians might be the same as these folks in our passage, the folks in the context which James is speaking into. Americans, we're not all, I wouldn't say we're all rich, but we are all wealthy, right? We all have houses, we all have food, we all have, you know, you could probably dig in your ashtray of your car and find enough pocket change to be richer than most of the world. We don't do without very often. But we're so wealthy that I think we think in our heads, at least we live it in our lives, as if we don't need God. When is the last time, just not out loud, but when's the last time you prayed for daily bread? When is the last time you thanked God for your daily bread? When's the last time you weren't self-sufficient? I can go to work. I can earn. Look at what my brokerage account has done. Look at what my retirement savings has done for me. And I think the worst problem for American Christians is this. If we don't have it, we'll just borrow it. And we'll forget about it. And we live as if there is no God. We live self-sufficiently and not biblically. But the bottom line is this. We need God. We need James to tap us on the shoulder. Or maybe he's punching us in the back and saying, hey, hold up a second here. We need to depend on God more. Maybe we are prosperous. Maybe we are able to do a lot for ourselves. But this is a rebuke. Notice the words of James. Come now, see here. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? And tonight, how appropriate, on a rainy evening, your life is a mist. It appears. And tomorrow the sun will come out, won't it? And the mist will vanish. And so we need to be careful to include God in our plans. But we also need to include God by salting our talk. Let me explain what I mean by that. Have you ever heard the expression, the Lord, good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise? Yes, you have heard that. Right. The British settlers had this saying. It has nothing to do with water and floods and creeks. It's about the Creek Indians. Right. And I think maybe in Georgia, I'm not sure if I've got all the details right. They were the Creek Indians. And so the settlers would say, if the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise, tomorrow we'll do this or do that. That's really not a bad saying. And it's kind of a Southernism. You hear people in the South say, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. It's something we say, but it's right out of verse 15 in some way. Instead, you ought to say, James says, if the Lord wills, we will live and we will do this or do that. So instead of boasting, instead of making plans without God, instead of being sure of what profit will come a year from now, or the duration of our business or trade, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this, we will live or do that. It can be annoying and it can be trite. Lord willing, Lord willing, Lord willing. Some people say it very often. But it really ought to be the reality of our lives, whether we say it or not. It ought to be the reality of our lives. We ought to make plans. Yes, do your to-do list. Yes, fill out your calendar. Yes, fill out your dry erase board or your refrigerator list of who does this, that, and the other. It's good for us to keep our dental appointments and our school appointments, our work appointments, business appointments, oil changes. And it takes planning to do all that. Get our grocery list. Do it in faith. And then bathe it in prayer. Ask the Lord to bless your plans. And then, of course, do biblical things. You don't want to have a set of plans to do something unbiblical. That would not be good. But add to your talk, add to your speech when you say to others, Lord willing, this or that. Sometimes you'll see people put the little Latin abbreviation after something. It'll say capital D, period, capital V, period. It's just a Latin little symbol for Lord willing. But when we make our plans, we should do so with diligence and with faith and with prayer. But put the little stamp on there, if the Lord's willing, we will do this or do that. And so we ought to include God in making our plans. We ought to include God by softening our talk, if the Lord's willing. But we also need to include God and avoid arrogance. That's really the sin that James is aiming at in our passage. You've got a people who have prospered, but only God. You've got a people who've done well. Why should I pray for daily bread? You've got a people who have this long look of I'll do this or I'll do that. And it's good to be reminded God can fix arrogance. Take, for example, in the book of Genesis, after the flood, God told Noah and his sons, go out into the world, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And very soon after that, a group of people said, you know, we don't want to scatter and spread the glory of God across the face of the earth. We want to stay all in one place. Y'all are remembering the story now. And we want to build a tower. And we want to make a name for ourselves. And God, sitting up in the heavens, is looking down, and he says, I think I'll go down and see the city and the tower. God fixed them, right? He confused their language. He scattered them as he had intended to do. And so God can fix our arrogance. And verse 16 tells us what James is prescribing, what he's diagnosing. He's saying, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. And all such boasting is evil. All such boasting is against the Lord. He's pretty cut and dry, isn't he? He's pretty black and white. Boasting is arrogance. Boasting is prideful. Boasting is evil. James, remember, is the half-brother of Jesus. He's followed him. He's seen him. He's heard him. He's listened to him. He's been converted by him. And in a sense, he's saying Christianity is not for wimps. Christianity may cause you to be persecuted. It may cause you to be rejected. It may cause you to lose your standing in society, your financial well-being. James knew this all too well. He suffered at the hands of persecutors, and supposedly in around the year AD 62, he died. He was martyred, as were many of the early church teachers and apostles. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 21 echoes James, or maybe James echoes Proverbs 27. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring. This is a hard saying, but it's a true saying. It's something we ought to think of and we ought to remember. So we need to include God in making our plans. We need to salt our talk with if the Lord is willing. We need to avoid arrogance. There's a fourth thing, the last thing. I think it's the last thing. If it's not, forgive me. But we need to include God in our lives by doing his will. It's one thing to make plans. It's another thing to say, Lord willing. It's another to say, I'm not prideful or arrogant. But it's a whole other thing to say, what will I do? I'll do the will of Almighty God. So we ask the question at the beginning, what's the most common sin? The most common sin is neglect or omission. Verse 17, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. We fail to do what is commanded. And I think most often it's because we're ignorant of God's word. We don't study it. We don't know it. We don't hear it. Probably all of us need to pop our hand up and say, guilty as charged. And so how do I find the will of God so that I can do it, so that I can follow it, so that I can be obedient, so that I cannot neglect God's commands and his duties? Well, it's not complicated, I'll tell you that. Read your Bible. Pray. You know, strive to live a godly life. Come to church where the Word of God and the sacraments center your life around God. Live a life of prayer, a life of obedience, a life of knowing and seeking his will. And the results will be God will bless your obedience. Yes, you'll have some ups and downs and some hardships. Yes, you'll have some prosperity and some lean times. But to be in the will of God, to be in the blessing of God is a great thing. It's good for our growth in grace, but it's good for others to see us submit to God, to rest in him. And it might be that you go to this place. It might be that you go to that place. It might be that indeed you do profit and you prosper. In days of old, when a man became an emperor, this would be many centuries ago in an eastern land, this story goes, the biggest day of your life would be to be crowned emperor over the empire, right? But before the crown was placed on the head of the emperor, he was taken out to a marble yard. And there he selected his gravestone. And so before he would be crowned as emperor over a great land with all the human pomp and circumstance, all the probably the bowing and the obeisance that would come from the peoples, he was reminded at the height of his power of his mortality. And as James says, that his life was a mist. I don't know if some of you have selected your headstone yet, but I imagine that's a rather sobering thing. In fact, it's so sobering, we probably chuckle about it or make jokes about it. Hope we never need it. Something like that. We remember the words of Jesus. Your soul could be demanded of you this night. Your soul could be demanded of you. And what of your plans? Whose will they be? We need to remember that God is the creator of everything. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's independent. Man is cannot make him a debtor, as we sang just a few moments ago from Romans chapter 11. He gives to mankind life and health and blessing and everything. He allots boundaries and time and seasons. And it may be tonight you need to repent of your arrogance or your boasting and your pride and submit yourself to him again, remembering that one day you'll lie under a piece of marble, just like the emperors of the earth and every common man. Let's look to God in prayer. Pray with me. Our Lord, we thank you so much for the tap on the shoulder, the poke in the back from James, and back from you, your own word. Lord, we do get going in life. We do fill up our calendar. We do zip along and we swipe our credit cards and we think all is well, so far so good. And it's good to stop tonight and to think about your sovereignty and to think about our creatureliness, our weakness, our being sinners and not God Almighty. So, Lord, help us to think and ponder on this, not just now, but in the remaining hours of the day. Help us to ease into tomorrow, submitting to your will and submitting our plans to you, that you might bring blessing as we seek your face and humility. Help us and hear us in the name of Christ. We ask all this. Amen.